أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة هيا للصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, the lessons of hadith from Riyadh al-Salihin will take place. The request to participate, inshallah, will be beneficial. اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا واستر لنا عيوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ومن عذاب النار ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وأغننا بفضلك عمن سواك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Inshallah, we'll have a very short lesson of hadith taking place. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen. Sayyidina wa maulana Muhammad khatamin nabiyyin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddini amma ba'd. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders and sisters listening. We were going through this very lengthy chapter in which Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi was discussing the rights of one's parents, the rights that our parents have over us, and similarly the rights of one's family members. That these two rights are such important rights that a person, there are so more hadith yet to come, but Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi concludes this chapter with a final hadith. Well, a final hadith, inshallah. We'll mention this hadith and then I'll start the next chapter as well. There is not a single chapter of Riyadh al-Salihin which is longer than this chapter. This is the most longest chapter. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is trying to draw
our importance and our attention to the fact that parents are such an important gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And similarly, one's family members. Many times we don't like certain family members. We would prefer if somebody else's family members were in, you know, we had different family members. We wish our family members were more pious. We wish our family members had better qualities. But we don't have a control over this. We don't have a choice in this matter. Allah Ta'ala gives us these family members. Whether it's our spouse, our wife, or for a woman, her husband. Similarly, our parents. Many times our parents have certain qualities which we do not agree with. They may be qualities which go against the Islamic values as well. Similarly, we may have uncles, we may have aunts, we may have grandparents, we may have children who have certain qualities that we don't like. But the reality is that this is my child. This is my father, this is my uncle, this is my aunt. Allah Ta'ala has established this connection. I didn't choose it. It wasn't my ikhtiyar, it wasn't my choice. Allah Ta'ala fixed and established this connection. And what Allah Ta'ala wants to see from me is, am I fulfilling my haqq? Am I fulfilling the rights that Allah Ta'ala has placed upon me? On the day of Qiyamah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is not going to ask me about anything else other than, did you fulfill your haqq? What was your haqq? Okay, if a person says, well, my father did this to me, and my father did this to me, and my father did this to me, Allah Ta'ala will say, what were you supposed to do? What did I tell you had to do? If someone said, my son did this, my son did this, my son did this, my wife did this, my certain relative did this, and that's the way I reacted in a bad way, Allah Ta'ala will say, what was your job as a Muslim? How were you supposed to react? That's why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is drawing this towards our attention that look, these huquq that Allah Ta'ala has established, these ties and these bonds and these connections that Allah Ta'ala has made, don't treat them, you know, treat them very importantly and very seriously. Don't treat them very lightly at all. So he brings this final chapter of this, final hadith of this chapter narrated by Sayyidina Bara bin Azib radiallahu anhu. Sayyidina Bara bin Azib radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الخالة بمنزلة الأم رواه الترمذي وقال حديث صحيح. Sayyidina Bara bin Azib radiyallahu anhu, he narrates this hadith that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم stated, the khala. Sayyidina Bara bin Azib radiyallahu anhu, مشهور صحابي ہے, وہ ارشاد فرماتے ہیں کہ رسول اللہ صلى الله عليه وسلم نے ارشاد فرمایا کہ خالہ جو ہے اس کی وہی حق ہے جو والدہ کا ہے. مطلب والدہ کو جو حق ہوتی ہے, والدہ کو, ماں کو, اسی طرح خالہ کو بھی وہی حق ہوتی ہے. So this hadith is very important. The ulama explain that the khala, your mother's sister, has the same rights as your mother. They say, look, she's not your mother. She's not your mother, and your mother has her special rights. And similarly, your father's rights are greater than your khala's. Your father's rights are greater than your aunties, your mother's sisters. However, the same respect and the honor and the treatment that you give to your mother, you should give the same treatment to your khala for two reasons. Firstly, because it will make your mother happy. Firstly, because it will make your mother happy. As we know, sisters are very close to each other. Sisters are more closer to each other than brothers are many times. Brothers can split up, brothers cannot talk for many, many weeks sometimes, months sometimes, but sisters, they can't go for too long being upset. It will just play on each other's mind, oh, my sister's not talking to me. They will always go back and make amends and make bonds with each other. And we will see when we have mothers, we'll see our mothers are either talking to their mothers or talking to their sisters quite frequently. This is a normal thing, this is a natural thing. So when we treat our khala in a good way, it will make our mother very, very happy. So this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying here. The khala is in the same position as the mother. And this hadith has a background to it. What happened was on one occasion, Sayyiduna Ammara radiallahu anha, she was a small sahabiya, a child. And she was the daughter of Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu anhu. So Sayyiduna Hamza radiallahu anhu is the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it Ammara or Umayma? I think it was Ammara radiallahu anha. So anyway, she was a small girl. And she came running behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At that moment in time, there were three Sahaba who were there. Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyiduna Ja'far radiallahu anhu, his elder brother, and Sayyiduna Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyiduna Ali radiallahu anhu said to his beloved wife, the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha, he said, oh Fatima, take her, meaning you carry her. And then what happened, a small kind of argument started between Sayyidina Ali and Sayyidina Ja'far and Sayyidina Zayd. Everyone was saying, we want to take Ammara. So then they were all arguing. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, his argument was that, you know, she's my cousin sister, because Hamza radiallahu anhu is the uncle of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu as well. So he's saying, she's my cousin sister, so I have a right over her. Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu is saying, yes, she's not only my cousin sister, but Sayyidina Ja'far radiallahu anhu's wife, I think Sayyidina Asma binti Umays, was the aunt of Ammara radiallahu ta'ala anha. So Sayyidina Ja'far's wife, Sayyidina Asma binti Umays, was the aunt of this daughter, of this girl, Ammara. So they had two rights, so they were arguing as well. Sayyidina Zayd radiallahu anhu, he also had his own argument as to why he wanted her. So then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-khalatu bi manzilatil that this daughter should go to Ja'far radiallahu anhu, because Ja'far's wife is the khala of this girl, meaning that the khala has the greatest right. And that was the reason why this hadith was mentioned. But the ulama explained here that it's very important that these connections, that these bonds that we have, which Allah Ta'ala has established between us, bonds due to our father, bonds due to our mother, and it will come later as well, there are some huquq, there are some rights that are there because of our father, that these are my father's relatives. You know, we say that when my father was alive, he used to visit this person, he used to visit this person, he had certain friends he would go to. I don't know who they are, I don't really visit them. But after my father passes away, I should make time and effort to actually go to these people. And these hadith will come later. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, when one sahabi asked, Ya Rasulullah, how can I fulfill the rights of my parents when they have passed away? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that those who are the friends of your father and the relatives of your father, carry on maintaining those good ties with them. Okay, fulan shakhs jo tha wo mere walid sahab ka dost tha. Main jaake unse mulaqat kar loon. Sirf itsi wajah se, chunke walid sahab unke saath taluq rakhte the. So this intention is very, very important. So anyway, this is the final hadith he mentions, and then he goes on to say that in this chapter there are many famous hadith. Imam Nawawi is still telling us that, look, don't take this lightly. There are so many hadith he's mentioning I can bring about this, respecting your parents, fulfilling the rights of your parents, fulfilling the rights of your family members. And he mentions from there is the hadith of the people of Ghar. He says, I've mentioned it previously. People of Ghar, the three people, we mentioned it right at the beginning in the chapter of intention. The three people who were stuck in the cave, and then there was a rock which was blocking their entrance and they couldn't come out. And the three people said, let's do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the best deed that we've ever committed. One of the people, he did dua that, oh Allah, I have elderly parents. And when I come home at night time after working very hard or a very long day, I come home and the first people I look towards is my mother. I don't even, to my parents. I don't even feed my children before I feed my parents. To the extent that I wait, sometimes they're sleeping, I wait for them to wake up and my children who are hungry are crying and holding my legs, but I don't feed them until I fed my parents. So, oh Allah, if I have done this action only to please you, please remove us from this difficulty. So Allah Ta'ala removed them from this difficulty. So he mentions that, look, when a person serves his parents for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the daraja, look at that rank of that person in the sight of Allah. And then he mentions the hadith of Juraij. Hadith of Juraij we've also completed in the past. Sayyidina Juraij, rahmatullahi alayhi, was a great saint of the Banu Israel. And a small error happened from him, a small mistake happened from him, where his mother called him when he was performing Nafal Salah, and he didn't respond, whereas the correct course of action was to break his Nafal Namaz and respond to his mother. He didn't do this, this was a human error, and his mother did a dua against him, and Allah Ta'ala made that dua happen straight away. A very serious dua she made in her anger, she made a dua, and that dua Allah Ta'ala made it happen straight away. So Imam Nawawi is saying, look, we have to be very careful. Anything that hurts your parents, we do not know which dua can come from the heart of our mother or father. They don't even have to say it with their mouth, because like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the hadith, that there are certain duas which there is no hijab between Allah Ta'ala and that dua, and one of the duas is that of the parent. And in another hadith separately, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that اتَّقِ دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومِ فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٍ, that beware of the dua of the oppressed person, because between the oppressed person and Allah there is no hijab. So imagine if it's your parent, their dua, and then you've oppressed your parent as well, your mother or your father, you've harmed them, you've hurt them. The two, he's already your parent, his duas are accepted. She's already your mother, her duas are accepted. And then you've also harmed her. So she's a mazloom. Now her dua is going to be double, most likely accepted by Allah Ta'ala. We have to be very, very careful. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullah is telling us, be very, very careful. So he mentions the story of Juraij, and he says, look, these hadith are passed. And he says, wa hadithu mashhura fi sahihi hadaftuha ikhtisara. He said, look, there are so many hadith I can bring about the importance of parents. But I've had to remove them just to make this kitab not too lengthy. I don't want to make this chapter very, very long. Otherwise, there are so many ahadith I can bring to bring this importance of serving your parents in front of our eyes. And then so he says, I'm going to stop there. وَذَكَرَ تَمَامِ الْحَدِيثِ وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى عَلَى وَبِهِ الْعَوْنُ وَالْقُوَّةِ. So he finishes this chapter. Inshallah, I'm going to make a start in the next chapter because it's related. Imam Nawawi has just said, I don't want to bring any more hadith about parents. Too many ahadith I've brought. I can bring even more. I'm stopping the chapter. And guess what he does? The next chapter, بَابُ تَحْرِيمِ الْعُقُوقِ. One chapter he mentioned the importance of serving your parents. The next chapter, how Allah Ta'ala has made it haram for us to disobey our parents. Allah Ta'ala has made it sinful and haram for us to disobey our parents. He's brought another chapter. So he's going to bring a hadith inside of this chapter pertaining to how Allah Ta'ala has made this a haram action. Babu tahreem al-uquqi wa qati'ati rahim. The chapter which discusses those ahadith relating to the fact that Allah Ta'ala has made it haram for us to disobey our parents and to break family ties. قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فهل عسيتم إن توليتم أن تفسدوا في الأرض وتقطعوا أرحامكم أولئك الذين لعنهم الله فأصمهم وأعمى أبصارهم. First ayat is, previously Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has also brought this ayat. Allah Ta'ala mentions that it's very likely that if you turn away from the religion of Islam that you start causing corruption upon the earth. And what is a sign of someone who turns away from Islam? What is a sign of someone who is not a Muslim and someone who is far away from Allah Ta'ala? Number one, he causes fasad, corruption upon the earth, fitna upon the earth. Secondly, وَتُقَطِّعُوا أَرْحَامَكُمْ. And you start breaking family ties. Because this is also one of the signs of those people who are far away from Allah Ta'ala. What do? They cause fasad, corruption on the earth. Always causing problems, always causing issues, stopping people from connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, they break family ties. They have no care for parents. They have no care for relatives. Very easily they will break family ties. And then Allah ta'ala mentions, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهِ. They are those people who Allah ta'ala sends his la'nat upon them. Allah ta'ala curses them. فَأَصَمَّهُمْ. And he makes them deaf. Meaning even if they hear hidayat all day long they could listen to hidayat, they will still not receive hidayat. They could hear guidance all day long, but they will not be guided. وَأَعْمَى أَبْصَارَهُمْ. Allah Ta'ala blinds their eyes. That even if guidance is in front of them, the haq, the truth is in front of them, they still will be unable to accept the truth. And then the next ayat he brings, وَالَّذِينَ يَنْقُضُونَ أَحْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِيثَاقِهِ وَيَخُطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَنْ يُصَلَ وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةُ وَلَهُمْ سُوءُ الدَّارِ. Those people who break the promise that they made with Allah Ta'ala. Every single one of us sitting here, we made a pledge with Allah Ta'ala. The Ahd Alast, as they call it. Allah Ta'ala said, Alastu bi Rabbikum qalu bala. Allah Ta'ala made a promise with us that you are going to go into the dunya and we said, oh Allah, we're going to worship you, we're going to recognize you, we're going to fulfill your commandments. So Allah Ta'ala mentions here, there are those people who break the promise that they made with Allah Ta'ala. وَيَقْطَعُونَ مَا أَمَرَ اللَّهُ بِأَنْ يُوصَلَ. And those connections that Allah Ta'ala told them to maintain, meaning family ties, they break those ties. وَيُفْسِدُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And they cause fasad and corruption upon the earth. أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ اللَّعْنَةِ. Upon those people is Allah Ta'ala's la'na. La'na means the absence of rahmah. One is rahmah when Allah Ta'ala's rahmah and mercy comes. La'na means Allah Ta'ala deprives. Allah Ta'ala deprives that person of rahmah. This is what la'na means. You know, you say, may Allah's la'nat me upon that thing? Allah ka la'nat hu ishi iswar matlab, Allah ka rahmat ispe nahu. This is what it means. So, ulaika lahum la'nat, may Allah's la'na be upon, Allah Ta'ala says, these are the people upon whom is Allah's la'na, walahum su'ud dar. And they have a very evil ending, meaning in the hereafter, their final abode is a very evil place, meaning the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Wa qala ta'ala, and finally, Imam Nawawi, again, he's repeating the same ayat which is brought in the last chapter. وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. This ayat Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brought in the last chapter that Allah Ta'ala has made it farz upon you, necessary upon you, that you worship Allah Ta'ala alone. And wabil walidain ihsana. Straight after Allah Ta'ala mentions his ibadat, that we do not associate any partners with him, we do not do shirk with Allah Ta'ala, be good to your parents, be dutiful to your parents. Be kind to your parents. If any of your parents reach old age, then فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفٍّ. Do not say uff to them. Do not say a single word which may hurt them. وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Do not speak to them harshly. Why is it? You know that kind of attitude we have when speaking, like, don't talk to me now. I'm tired, I'm busy. You know this is تَنْهَرْهُمَا. And zajr, you know, zajr, like speaking to someone in a very harsh way, in a very rude way. Don't speak to them like that. Doesn't matter how tired you are, doesn't matter how annoyed you are, doesn't matter if you haven't had enough sleep, if you had enough food. We have to speak to our parents. We have to take a deep breath and speak very softly. Speak very calmly. Only say those things which will make them happy. Don't say a single word that will make them unhappy. So this is وَلَا تَنْهَرْهُمَا. Don't rebuke them. Don't be harsh to them. وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا. And speak to them with good words. Always good words. Nice words. Tell them things they want to hear. Speak such words that will make them happy. Never say things that will make them upset. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ. And lower for them the wing. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ. Lower for them the wings of humility. Out of rahmah for them, out of affection for them. Meaning they may do things that you may dislike. Because this is not easy. Sometimes when you're living with parents, it's not easy. Parents may say things which you may dislike, especially if you may have parents, you're trying to do the correct thing Islamically, they may say things which are driving you crazy because it's not Islamic. It's very against what Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are saying, but there's cultural things and we have so many issues that you have to deal with today. But always out of rahmah for them, mercy for them, remember what our parents have done for us. Keep this picture in front of us and then become soft. It's my parents. I'm angry. Very angry. I don't like what they're saying. I don't like what they've done. They've done something which isn't correct. But I remember their position. They're my parents. How much have they done for me? Become soft out of جناح الذل. Lower for them the wing of ذلت. ذلت کا مطلب کیا ہے؟ ذلیل ہو جانا. Because I'm going to ذلیل ہو جاؤ. Doesn't matter what they're doing. Doesn't matter what they're saying. Just become soft and speak to them with kindness. Don't let your anger come out. Don't let your, you know, this come out. Don't let them see anything. Speak only good words. وَقُلْ رَبِّ رَحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِ صَغِيرًا. And finally do dua for them. That, oh my Allah, have rahmat, have mercy upon them as they had mercy upon me when I was young. Ulama explained that, look, doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you do. There will always be shortcomings. The same way there are shortcomings in our dealings with Allah Ta'ala, always shortcomings. It doesn't matter how pious a person may think. For a person to think he's pious is wrong, first of all. But it doesn't matter how many good a'mal we may do, there are always shortcomings in our connection with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Similarly, there will always be shortcomings in our dealings with our parents. So constantly do dua for them, that this is the final, like they say, this is the jabira, this is the kafara, this is kind of like the final thing you're doing. That, oh Allah, I tried my best to be good to my parents, but I know I have made so many mistakes. I know there are times when I have made my parents angry, when I have upset my parents, especially my parents who have passed away. I cannot do anything else now, they're gone. There's nothing I can say to them. There's nothing I can apologize to them for. They are gone. So all I can do is dua, plenty of dua. So much dua we should do. And inshallah, the next chapter will come later on. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions the huquq, the rights a son has or a daughter has after her parents have passed away, after his parents have passed away. What we can do to ensure that we are still fulfilling the rights of our parents even after they've left the dunya. Because the rights of your parents are not just limited to dunya. My parents were alive, I did everything for them. They passed away now, let me move on with my life. No, their rights are linked to us as long as we're alive till we die. Till we die. Even if they've left the dunya, they still have rights over us. And inshallah, will come in the next chapter. So there'll be some ahadith which we'll brought in this chapter. Inshallah, we'll discuss those ahadith next Sunday. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Everyone ready to do amal upon this, inshallah? Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Shadu Allah. Astaghfirullah.